the danger of drifting. There's danger in drifting from the things we know to be true. Don't drift. Stop drifting if you are. Now maybe we can dismiss and go home. That's the sermon. Don't drift into things that are not true according to God's Word. Several years ago, the story was told about a couple on vacation, and they were having such a good time at the beach, and they had these rafts or whatever, you know, you blow them up and you float around out there, and everybody was having a good time. And the husband says, "I'm going back in, get something to drink." And the lady says, "This is so peaceful and relaxing. I'm just going to stay here. You go ahead." And so the water was just right, and it was just rocking her to sleep. And it did. She fell asleep, and she was really having a good time. And then she realizes when she wakes up that she's far from shore. The shore's way back there. And here she is, just drifting along. And then she begins to panic because she's so far from the shore, and it's become dangerous. This story ends that lifeguard saw that, took care of her, and got her where she needed to be. Now the question this morning is, how many people in the church today are just coasting along in their spiritual walk? In America and around the world, but especially in America, how many simply are just being careless with our spiritual life? You know, we've got to spend some time on the job now. We got to work. We got to spend some time raising kids. We got to spend some time being whatever you are, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a son, a brother, a husband, a whatever. And yes, time and everything gets busy and a lot to get done. But what about our spiritual walk? If you look with me on the screen, Hebrews 2:1, it says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away." He says we must pay more careful attention. He just didn't say just pay attention here. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Kind of a warning to us. Listen, you better pay attention. Don't drift. How many Christians have just drifted along like the little lady on her beach trip there out, and then all of a sudden they're in danger. They're saying, "Oh no, what's going on here?" Because they're just drifting along. Have you ever been closer to Jesus Christ, your Lord, than you are today? Now you answer that in your own heart and mind, just like I have to answer that. Has there been a time in your life that you've been closer to the Lord than you are today? Has there been a time in your life that you were more surrendered in your heart and your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ than you are today? A time when you was more committed to Him and His church than you are today? Now, if the answer to that is yes, then you're in the process of drifting, and you need to stop. Matthew, on the screen, says this over in chapter 13, "The one who received the seed and fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." If you settle for a relationship with Christ that is just kind of superficial or kind of just on the edge, you'll get in trouble. Don't try that. Don't try to just kind of get by in your relationship with the Lord. Get in head over heels. Just jump in. And let the Word of God be your guide. And prayer and things that we know that helps us. Go for the deep walk. Someone said the church in America, they were talking about, said that the spiritual depth of the church in America is that of a mud puddle. Small and shallow. Now, I hope that's wrong. I hope it's wrong about me, about you, about Jones Chapel, certainly, and I hope it's wrong about America. But if our spiritual death is like a mud puddle, small and shallow, see, we get in trouble. We want it to be more. The Lord Himself expects more than that of us and His disciples. He always has. And we don't need to just drift along and just kind of put it on the back burner because we get in trouble. Denial. Have you ever denied the Lord? The answer to that would be yes. I think we all have in some form or fashion. Now, if you don't like that comment, write Judy a letter and she'll write you back. But I think we all have some form or fashion. Now, we remember Judas. We remember that one. Let's just read it. Put it on the screen there in Mark 14. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money, so he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Now, we remember that story. We know about Easter time, and we remember the disciples, and we remember what Judas did. And we all take a deep breath, and we say, what a terrible guy. Can you believe what he did for a few pieces of silver? Can you believe old Judas and what he did? But in one way or another, we've all done it to some degree. When we knew full well we ought to speak up for the cause of Christ and we kept our mouth shut. Or when the Holy Spirit said, keep your mouth shut, and you just kept on talking. Whatever the circumstance, we've done it. We can't be too hard on folks, but life comes and there's all sorts of things that come into our life. When difficulties come, what will we do then? Will we keep on trusting? Will we keep on serving? Will we keep on going, or will we drift? When difficulties come, when life gets tough, when our prayers seem that they're not being answered, when there's just no reason for this to be happening, and we say, Lord, we don't understand, and we pray with all of our heart, and we just don't understand. When difficulties come, just let the Lord take hold of you. And I know in our humanness and the way we feel sometimes it's tough. But please don't drift in difficulties. There's deception all around in our world today. Our universities around this country are teaching some foolishness that is just contrary to the Word of God. But yet it's being held as great things and truth, and it's not. People are swayed to follow false doctrine, false teachers, things that are not according to the Bible, and they drift sometimes in those college ages and different times too, because they just are taught falsehoods. If your beliefs today don't match up with the Word of God, I tell you with love, I tell you with respect, I tell you with a loving heart, if your beliefs don't match up to the Word of God, you're simply wrong. And now, do I do that in a harsh way? No, I don't. Do you say that in some way like you have all the answers? No, we don't. But for this pulpit, to this congregation, to the people around us in our community, to the state of Mississippi, the nation, and around the world, I say to anybody of any color, race, tribe, whatever, if your beliefs do not match up with the Word of God, which is absolutely true, your beliefs are wrong. Now, that's not being mean. That's not being intolerant. That's being truthful with love. There's all kinds of things that try to divide Christian people and try to get our mind off of what our mission and our focus is. Standing for God might not always be popular, but it'll be the right thing to do in the end. So stand. Revelation 2 through 5 on the screen. You probably have heard it and read it and know it by heart, but I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. you have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Listen, he's saying, I know you've done these things here, and they're all good things here. I know your deeds. I know you've worked hard. You've persevered. I know you don't tolerate wicked men. You've tested those who claim to be apostles, and they're not. You know, you've went through hardship for my namesake, he says. You've not grown weary. But he said, now listen, I have this against you. You've forsaken your first love. The church in America is in that boat, if it's ever been in that boat. We're so concerned about us. We're so concerned about self. We're so selfish and eat up with selfishness right in the church in America today. Well, sure, we all want things. Sure, we want to better ourselves. And nothing's wrong with those things. But we're so caught up in self and people living for self that they forgot what the Word of God says. Forgot that the Word of God says you can sacrifice for the kingdom's sake. We don't know what sacrifice is anymore. We just need to hold on to truth and not drift. Not drift from what is absolute truth, and that's the Bible. The lack of fear of sin. Well, what are you afraid of? Well, the Bible's full, it says, fear not. And now we can go preach a sermon or two on that too. But we need to be afraid of sin. And we live in a time and an age where, what is sin? Anyway, well, that's not sin to me. Well, that's sin to you, but it's not sin to me. Well, what is sin anyway? And here we go, and all these definitions come of what sin is. And, oh, you're not tolerant. You're being intolerant. You're being on and on we could go, and I don't need to get on a rabbit trail. Fear sin. If God hates sin, why should we love sin? Does God hate sin? Yes, he does. It says so in this book. He hates it. Now, he loves people, and a sinner, we've all heard it. Well, you love the sinner, but hate sin. There's a lot of truth in that. God loves people, but now he hates sin. And we need to, it's rebellion against God. Sin is. So we can't flirt with it. And we live in an age that people don't fear the consequences of sin. They just don't worry about it. And society and the church in America is part of that. We've been sold this bill of goods that tolerate everything, that this God, your God, my God, the next God. There's many gods, and they're good, benevolent. And they don't send anybody to hell, your God, my God, the other guy's God. And we get confused. I'm the first one to tell you that the true and living God is good. Full of love, full of grace, full of mercy. You better believe it. But this bill of goods we're being sold that all these different gods, it doesn't matter which one you pick, it does matter. Jesus is the only way to heaven. But you can pick any of them and it's all good and we're all going to just get along and we're all going to heaven anyway. That's not true. People who do not bow their knee and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will not be in heaven. That's a requirement that he has. I didn't make it up. You didn't make it up. But again, back to truth. We must be born again. And we've been preached to, it seems to me, in our own land, that we'll never be held accountable for the way we live. I tell you, this book says we will be held accountable for how we live. And if God hates sin, I should hate sin. And if I sin, this same book, who has truth in it, says that I have an advocate with the Father. And I need to ask for forgiveness of those sins. And He will forgive me of them. So we will be held accountable. We will give an account for the way we live. That's the truth of God's Word. And I'm under grace. Even in the church world. Oh, I'm under grace. I've been saved. That amazing grace. I'm under grace. Thank God for His amazing grace. Where would I be without it? Where would you be without it? But I'm here to tell you, you don't take advantage of grace to just go and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and just think it's okay. That's not what grace is about. That I just live any way I want to. I'll go to an altar. I'll have a warm, fuzzy, emotional feeling. I'll get up, go out the door, and live like hell and just say I'm covered by grace. That's not the message. It might be the message of some, but it's not the message of the Word. That yes, the Holy Spirit convicts. Yes, we might have a warm, fuzzy, emotional experience, but it's more to it than just emotion. But that we repent of sin. Repent means to turn from. And then we live a holy life in this world. He calls us to do it. And we've got to be careful that we don't just take this grace in a manner that he didn't mean for us to. The victory we sang about, we have it through Jesus. We've gained it through Jesus Christ the Lord, and I'm thankful for it. There's a real enemy that we face. Satan comes at us in every way that he can to destroy us, and we need to put him in his place through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not your own power, not my own power. I don't have the power to do that. But through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ, through the power of Almighty God, Satan was defeated on Calvary's cross. Amen? He was defeated then. So I can have victory now. All because of the death and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. So I don't have to walk around in a defeated attitude. Because I have the victory in Jesus Christ. I don't have to think, oh, woe is me, because it's not. I'm a child of the living God. So, don't drift. Don't just take it and drift along easy, because if you start drifting, you'll stop growing. If you start drifting, you'll stop growing. And we all need to grow in the Lord. We all need to grow. You men in here that are married, you just ignore your wife. Ignore her physical needs, her emotional needs. You just ignore. Don't have anything to do with her. And see if your relationship grows. Women, you ignore your husband. Sexual needs, physical needs, whatever it is. Just ignore him. Put him off. And see what happens. It won't be good. The thoughts won't be good. The growth in the marriage won't be there. So why do we think that we can ignore the things of God, ignore our Savior, and just everything's going to be wonderful? It's going to be an intimate relationship. Not if you ignore Him. We need to grow. We need to grow. So don't just drift around. Grow in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, I asked you a few minutes ago, has there been a time you were closer to the Lord than you are today? Is there a time when you were more surrendered to Christ than you are today? Well, if the answer to that was yes, then what were you doing then? Well, I was having a devotional early in the morning before I go to work, or late at night, or whenever I had it. I was probably doing that. I had a time set aside for a prayer time that was more than me just driving down the road. Now, you can pray driving down the road. I've done it a lot of times. But a time set aside that me and God's going to be alone and we're going to talk. We're going to pray. You know, and we hear that in the church world. Well, you need to have a devotion. You need to read the words. You need to pray. And we hear it and we hear it and we hear it. And we say, well, yeah, I've done that some. We really need to do it. We really need to do it. Well, how much preacher do I have to read a day to do it? 5 chapters? 10 chapters? What is it? You and God figure it out when you're going to do it. How much is enough that day? But just do it and grow. Recognize the things of God and recognize your need of God. Do you need God? If I were to ask you the question and you had to answer today, do you need God? I believe it'd be 100% in here. I believe we'd all say, yes, I need God. Are you spending some time with Him? Are you praying? Are you really communicating? Are you allowing the Word of God to come in and transform the mind? We need God. So whatever it takes to live in that close relationship, we need to. And it could be you need to repent first. It could be, I've got to repent of sin and get this thing straight, this relationship with me and Jesus right now. So I need to ask Him to forgive me of sin. It could be, that's where we start today. It could be, I've got to return to these practices that I know helps me grow. I'm going to go to Sunday school, or I'm going to go to a small group where I can have that community and where we can love one another and pray with one another and love on one another and grow together, not just have another lesson, but really grow together and with the Lord. We got to be revived in our heart because God knows we need it. And when we get serious with God, then here comes the Holy Spirit. He will fan the flames within our heart to rise to the occasion, if we'll be honest. So don't drift. Don't drift. It's a dangerous thing to do. You'll be out, way out there someplace, and you'll turn around and you'll look for the shore, and it'll be miles away because you were just drifting along at ease in your spiritual walk. I'm asking you not to drift. I'm asking you to do the things you need to do, whatever they are, to draw close to God. Last little slide. Stop drifting. Just that simple. If you are, stop. Draw close to God because He wants that intimate relationship. He wants that intimate relationship with you that He created you to have. God created you. God loves you. God wants to hear from you. Isn't that amazing? Do you really believe that? How many of you really believe that God wants to hear from you? I mean, really? God wants to hear from you. Well, I'm not that important in life. I'm just this or I'm just that. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the way God set all this up, and He's a wonderful God, and Jesus come to die for our sins and did, rose on the third day. You know that gospel story. But He really wants to hear from you and me. But you don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know what you don't know that thought I had. No, I don't. But I still know Jesus wants to hear from you. So wherever you're at in life today, would you go out of this place today knowing God loves you? You say, preacher, I'm the worst sinner it's ever been through the doors of the church. I've got good news for you today. Jesus Christ will save you if you will ask. If you'll be true and genuine in your heart, right here's an altar, right in your pew, you can ask Christ to forgive you of sin, and He'll do it if you'll be genuine with it. He'll forgive you of sin. You can start a relationship with Him. Well, I've started a relationship with Jesus years ago, you might say. I'm thankful you have. Now keep it up. Don't drift. Don't let everything of this world get in the way of your relationship with God. Oh, I know you're busy, but don't drift. God loves you. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, today we give you thanks again for all the victories that you have placed in our life. God, the blessings are so great and so real and so many. We'd like to say thank you, Lord, as we come to the end of this service. We'd like to continue, just as we started, to praise you for your goodness to us. Lord, we know we're needy people. We know, Lord, in a crowd, they might not be that many of us here today, but whatever the number is, there's a good chance that somebody's drifting. There's a good chance that they're not as close to you in relationship as they once was. And Lord, I pray, whether it's in the pew or around an altar, that they'll come home today. They'll say, Lord, here I am. Forgive me for drifting. And I want that close relationship with you. Father, if there's a person here that just knows full well that they're just plain living in sin and just that they've not been saved, they'd come to an altar of prayer and ask for salvation today. So, Father, we thank you that we're here and you're here. And I pray now, Holy Spirit of God, you just do a work in our minds and our hearts that you need to do. May we be open to what thus saith the Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.